B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, March 4th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll talk about what we got up to over the weekend, plus Esquire's come out with their list of the top 10 games of all time.
Oh, no.
Let's see how they did. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today by asking you an important question. Are you okay with the way games are being developed today? Has the tried and true method of planning a full game to be released on the day of release a thing of the past? Or has DLC and early access truly opened Pandora's box of game development? Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. Yeah, you know, we were talking recently about how more and more games are kind of taking on almost that MMO-esque model of development that we used to see back in the day. A game would release...
put out the bare minimum and we'll add more later.
Right. It would come out as this kind of core game that could be added onto from multiple directions. That's what you paid to get, and then you would, you know, pay your monthly fee and it would... add on to the game as time went by. And more games that are coming out today are following kind of a similar model.
Well, it's not just that model, but it's also the way that the public is reacting to these games once they get their hands on them.
There's nothing wrong with that model itself.
As long as it works. As long as it works for your audience, then that's fine. And I'm not going to begrudge you of that. But with the release of Anthem, it's hard to ignore this kind of treadmill that we get on as gamers, where a new game will come out, everyone will jump all over its flaws and its downfalls, knowing full well that there is a 2 or 3 year development track record ahead of it, which to a lot of gamers really ends up feeling like they're piecemealing the experience together over time.
But I reject that, because the thing is that a game like Anthem, coming from a big AAA studio at full price,
that's an important aspect, by the way,
at full price, is coming out, and people expect that game to be finished. And what finished to a lot of people means is, hey, 35, 40, 50 plus hours of gameplay, especially coming from a studio like BioWare that's known for sort of its mid-length games.
Sure.
Really, really great world building, great characters. And what they got out of Anthem was the complete opposite. They got something that was like an MMO light, basically, a loot shooter that was not complete on the day it was released. So that's why you see so much of the vitriol coming out towards Anthem, and it is indicative of sort of this new way that games are being developed, to where you can say, you know what, the game technically is 85% finished, and we'll just tag on the rest of it
later. It's a mostly complete experience.
That's not done.
Yes, yeah. Let me add on to what you're saying there, Norris, because again, the actual model itself, there's nothing wrong with it, but what we expect, especially out of something like EA, these AAA studios, is when I pay full price for a game, what I should be getting out of the box is a full price game.
From start to finish.
It shouldn't be half done. It shouldn't be we're going to finish it off later. It should be full as I get it. And then if you want me to keep spending money, microtransactions, monthly fee, whatever it is, then you start adding on. But out the box, that should be a done game.
That's the thing. As I recall back to, you know, the mid-2000s, 2004, 2005, when microtransactions really just were starting to appear. I remember back, you know, Halo 2 had their map pack that they released after, and people called it. People then were starting to, like, sound the alarms, like, oh my god, it's the
slippery
end of gaming.
Slope.
It's a slippery slope. This is the end of gaming as we know it. And to be fair, it took about 10 years for it to really kind of see that vision come to fruition.
Well, remember that once upon a time, things like map packs were free additions that, you know, developers would put out to You know, this was like in sort of the primordial days of communities forming around games.
Yep, the blind communities.
And, yeah, and some developers saw this as an opportunity to keep their community engaged in their game. And again, I think that that's probably the right move. And then, yes, when they started charging for this kind of stuff, that's when the alarm bell started to get sounding. But I want to focus a little bit more on a game like No Man's Sky that had a lot of the same backlash when it first came out. Now, granted, there were direct public statements to the contrary of what the product actually was, and there was a lot more meat there to be upset about, but it reached this exact same cycle that we're seeing a lot of these games like Destiny reach, where they come out, people are initially disappointed by them, and then after 3 months or so of development, maybe the first 4 or 5 updates, people start to turn a corner on it. And the last, you know, the last 4 or 5 people that I've talked to about a game like No Man's Sky, they're like, that's a great game.
Yeah, but that's the same thing you see with Destiny, though. Like, that game came out, people were pretty disappointed. They said it's not quite there. And then 2 years down the line, most people are like, this
game's
great.
But that's ridiculous, because when you have a game like that, you're actively kneecapping the ceiling for your game in terms of how many people adopt it. If you're going to say, I'm going to come out with a game and I want, you know, my projection is 3 million people buy it. Okay, well, if you put out half of a game and only 750,000 people buy it on the first week, yeah, alarm bells are going to go off. You're going to get bad reviews, and people who would have been on the fence about it are now going to not deal with it anymore, as opposed to putting out a game that's done.
With God of War,
taking the extra time, like with God of War, which you saw it for the first time, and it took, what, 3 years before that game came out from the first trailer?
Yeah.
And it came out, and it sold like gangbusters. Everybody loved it, and it was something that people didn't have to worry about. The studio didn't have to worry about it past that.
If they released it and it needed like a bunch of day one, day two, day three patches, would it have done as well as it has?
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. We're currently talking about the current state of game development that, you know, we seem to be in 2019. And this doesn't even get to, you know, the turnaround or the hype that is surrounding Battle Royale games right now. And it seems like everything that's coming out is recalibrating for the Battle Royale thing. And that just seems like an increasing bubble that's going to pop.
Yeah, I mean, you can only have so many Battle Royale games. You're talking about games that require you to have 60 to 100 players in each individual instance of the game. That requires a large, vibrant player base to sustain itself.
Right.
You cannot have, like, I don't believe that there's room for 6 Battle Royale games out on the market, but just like there wasn't ever room for 6 MMOs to function all simultaneously.
But the difference there is those are free for the most part. And again, people give a lot of leeway to something when there's no barrier for entry. Mm. When my barrier for entry is how much hard drive space I have,
that's true.
I'm willing to give these types of games a lot more leeway and be more
flexible.
But on the other hand, all I have heard about Apex since it comes out is, listen, the free point is awesome and their microtransactions, I understand. But the thing about it that really I appreciate is that it worked.
Yep.
There was no to put up with 6 weeks of server instabilities. And speaking as an avid Fallout 76 player, this is something that I totally understand.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, games that are coming out with multiplayer aspects that come out with fundamentally broken server states and things like that, that is way more egregious and unacceptable than kind of piecemealing DLC over, you know, a long period of time. Listen, I understand that it takes more money to produce a detailed game than it used to 10 years ago.
Oh,
and I can appreciate that, and I'm willing to shell out the funding to make sure that those games continue to survive. But, you know, when it comes to online you know, online environments, this stuff just has to work. You know, when Bethesda said you'll never see a server, I believed them on that. And that, to me, was the most egregious lie of Fallout 76.
Well, I think that's where we've opened Pandora's box, though. I don't see how you go back from where we're at now.
I think we're on a cusp. You see how bad the launch for Anthem has been? If this continues for games like these, the industry may actually look at it and be a bit hesitant.
Here's another big point, and a lot of people poo-pooed them when they said this. Sony is actively rejecting this kind of stuff.
Yes,
by scaling back, and they're about the biggest studio out there, or the biggest publisher out there that there is. They're saying actively, we're going to do bigger games, but fewer games. Well, flat out.
But there's always going to be holdouts. You know, Red Dead Redemption 2 and Spider-Man. I get what you're saying. But there, no matter what, even if the trends are going one way, there will always be holdouts for the other way of it being. Isn't it going to be kind of on us as the consumer to vote with our feet on that and say,
absolutely,
like, hey, the way Sony's doing this, that's the one, yeah, that one, that's what we want.
And I think the frustrating aspect to that is that takes time to deliver that message, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not an immediate, you know, a response that a company can give, or that a consumer can give to a company. That takes time to be able to formulate that.
Yeah. You've got to let them, you know, get through a quarter where they say, oh, our sales came in at 40 million short of goal.
Right. And even then, I feel like there's like damage control that tries to spin that out.
The
you know
only
what
time
I mean?
We've ever seen it happen quickly, I feel like, was with Battlefront 2 and the loot box controversy. That was one where almost overnight EA was like, I think we might have goofed.
That's because they had the feds on them.
Well, yeah. When you wake the beast of the federal government, I think that really tends to turn some heads. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you worried about companies not delivering a finished product at launch? If we can agree that this is a problem from a consumer perspective, what can we do about it? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Esquire has created a top list of top 10 video games of all time. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we didn't have anywhere to travel over the weekend, but we'll play a little bit of catch-up ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Unlike last weekend where we were all busy at Frostbite 2019, this most recent weekend we actually had some downtime. So I have to ask you guys, what did you do with your free time? Because all I did was sleep.
You slept?
I slept.
And play Fallout 76.
I did. I played a bunch of Fallout 76. I respec'd my character in Fallout 76 to be like a low HP bloodied build. I now can get my bloodied Gauss rifle up to 816 damage.
Not bad.
It's starting to get there. So that was kind of fun. Just kind of like going through and finding different, you know, different perk combinations to be able to pull that off successfully. And then I also, you know, I've been going through and playing the older Fallout games as well, and have finished New Vegas and have gone back for the DLC, started Old World Blues. And the fact that James Urbanek is one of the robots in that, who, if you don't know who that is, that's the voice actor who plays Rusty Venture on the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
That, I could just play Old World Blues forever and be happy.
Just listen to that.
I am loving it. It is so funny, cleverly written. I love Obsidian's writing. Not to down on Bethesda. Bethesda seems to take their writing a bit more seriously than Obsidian did, but God, I am loving New Vegas. It's a fantastic experience. So that was the bulk of my weekend, and honestly, I probably slept for 23 hours well, out of the whole weekend.
That seems like a good weekend to me.
I'd be up for that. A lot of sleep. You know, also I was watching the old BBC series, The Prisoner with Patrick McGoohan.
You're still going through that.
Here he goes with that obscure foolishness.
Well, just like Nate, I've actually been waxing some nostalgia as well. Been going through the ME3 or the Mass
Effect. You should
Effect
not be waxing
franchise.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Waxing.
Waxing.
That was actually a Zaid reference.
I misunderstood.
Waxing poetically.
Yes.
I misunderstood.
Anyway, as you know, I finished Mass Effect 2, moved on to Mass Effect 3, and after staring at the eShop on the Nintendo Switch for like an hour the other night, I then installed Final Fantasy VIII on my computer to play through that with my girlfriend. No.
Stop.
No, wait. Oh, that was a stop. I thought you wanted like a high five. I'm not.
What are you're playing Final Fantasy VIII?
Look, I like Final Fantasy VIII.
Why is she not one of the best?
Why is she dragging Katie through?
Yeah, why is she not playing it?
Yeah.
She likes to just sit and watch. So she is playing. I make her, like, you know, if there's any decisions.
And you're making her farm cards, aren't you?
Yeah,
no, I'm actually farming the cards.
You're making her farm for Cedar Callens, aren't you?
I'm doing the farm carding. She's like, when you're done with this, let me know. I'll come back in.
The farm carding?
But yes.
Card farming.
And then, of course, farm carding. As of recording, it is my birthday for all those out there who have Donald
Shut up.
No one cares.
Everybody cares.
Go away.
No one cares.
Happy birthday to
you. You're 43 year old ass.
How old is that?
I am 32.
32.
And you are not that far behind me.
Oh.
I know.
Should be fair, Robbie. You know, FFA is my favorite.
How's it feel to reach old man status? Because I think 32
you're
is the official.
You're the oldest motherfucker here.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I actually.
Robbie has now joined him in old man status.
As the arbiter of old man status, I get to bestow old man status on people.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like being bit by a werewolf.
Oh.
You know, like I get to pass it on.
What are
I
stand
on the next full moon?
It.
Robbie's gonna age like 10 years.
Where's my Geritol?
Oh man,
I need my back brace.
I mean, to be fair, apparently carpal tunnel's starting to set in, so that sucks.
Well, listen.
On what digit?
That one right there.
That's
my Q ability.
That's Q. That's important. Oh damn, bro. Yeah.
Norris, what was going on with your weekend, man?
Well, I was the only one that actually did something involving work, and I started playing our Checkpoint Gaming Club game.
That's right.
Yes, for those who don't know, we have a gaming club that you can join.
We talked about this on the podcast, so we haven't talked about the name,
by the way.
So okay, we'll get to that in just a second. But we talked about this on the podcast. We haven't talked about it on the Daily Show, and I don't know, like, I think, like, there's got to be overlap in the audience.
Probably.
But there are some people who have not carried over to either show for some reason, but so we might as well mention it here. Much like a book club, we've started the Checkpoint XP Game Club, where we're picking one game per month. We've picked the game for March. It is Celeste, and we've all made the pact to play it within the 30 days.
Yes.
And then on the podcast, which you can subscribe to over at checkpointxp.com, is where we're going to discuss Celeste.
Yes.
And you guys are going to...
Original Browns fans less than 3.
Man, that was from a long time ago.
Joanna's struggling.
But you guys will be able to call into that show.
Yes.
Yes.
There will be a strict screening process.
Yes,
so
you'll have to go through our screener.
No foolishness. But you guys will be able to call into that podcast and help us out with that conversation. That's the whole purpose
of the
gaming club. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about the Checkpoint Gaming Society monthly?
Gaming Society.
That's
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It's
highfalutin.
Highfalutin, yes!
And y'all know how much I love bougie and highfalutin.
I feel like I need to shave my beard and come up with a twirly mustache and a bowler hat.
Watch Twin Peaks. You can't talk to nobody about highfalutin.
we will start every one of them with submitted for the approval of the Checkpoint Gaming Society.
Oh my God.
Yes. God, I'm in on this.
That's just such a ripoff of Are You Afraid
of
the Dark?
I know. And we're going to rip them off.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone who's watching over at twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP. All 3,383 of you right now that are tuned in. This is pretty amazing, being on the front page and getting this kind of exposure and this kind of interaction in the chat room. We really appreciate it. So many new people being exposed to the show. So again, thank you so much for checking out over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. So starting into Celeste, that sounds like a pretty good weekend. Joe, I got to know, what were you up to this weekend?
So I've been struggling for the last, I don't know, feels like forever, but maybe 6 months or so with my computer. It's had kind of one problem after another, and that journey finally reached its conclusion over the weekend.
Let's complain about it.
I'm about to. Don't worry.
Which so, you have no grounds to, by the way. You did all this
yourself.
This is
not your fault.
So about 6 months ago, my admittedly old PC started dying, and as they frequently do, one part at a time started to fail. It was RAM, then it was hard drive, then it was all over the
place. That's always, it's, by the way, just on a personal note, because it's happened to my own machine, that's always a very sad way to see a computer go.
Happy birthday, old man.
No, it's my birthday, not Nate's. But thank you. I'll
I
take
think
it
they
anyway.
Got it right.
But you
they
are
got,
old.
They got
you
it right.
Are old.
Yeah, so,
you're
so,
old. That's right.
I'd just
thank
like,
you,
I'd like to clarify real quick, yes. Joe. 6 months you've waited, and suddenly a few days was too long.
Well, yeah. Have you waited 6 months and then been like, oh, I can finally get the thing that I want?
That's
not,
true. Because
when I do that, I get my ass up and go to the store.
Well, so, okay. So, earlier this week, I ordered on Amazon a new iBuyPower computer. Because, you know what? I've seen iBuyPower stuff. Was pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, we got when we were out at UCI, they had that place fully stocked with iBuyPower PCs.
Oh, and they were great.
They
so
were great. They were
I
awesome.
I decided, okay, I'm gonna make the dive. I'm gonna grab an iBuyPower machine.
Yeah.
Delay. Paid for the rush order to get it to me the next day. Was excited. Doesn't that morning? Nope, it's been delayed by a day. We've refunded your rush order cost. They refunded the expenses of it.
That's good.
I'm like, all right, well, whatever. So wait till the next day. Nope, it's been delayed another day. Damn it. Third day.
Where
happens.
Was it coming? Where was it coming from?
From iBuyPower, as far as I know.
Uruguay. Oh,
okay. It was coming from Uruguay. From Uruguay. Yeah. So the third day, they're like, "Okay, we've delayed it again. It's going to be delayed until next week." Now I'm like, "No, screw that. I order a different. I cancel my order. Order a different machine. Same thing happens. Like, it's not coming until next Wednesday after my 1 day passes." I finally get sick of it. I go out to Best Buy and I purchase a computer because I see that they have one in stock. It's an iBuyPower, just like I want at Best Buy. I get there. And it's not there. They said,
Wait a minute.
This happens way more often than you'd think.
Hang on. So wait a minute. You ordered two computers.
Right.
Canceled both those orders because they were going to take too long to get to you.
Correct.
And then decided, I'm going to find one locally.
Yes.
Looked it up.
Yes.
Went to go pick it up.
Correct.
And they didn't have it.
Correct.
You should have called, man.
So I get there, and I'm like, I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't see it.
You work in retail. You should have called.
I don't anymore. Thank you.
Well, you did.
I did. So I get in there. They don't have it in, and I'm like, well, your site says it's here. And they're like, okay, so here's what happened.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear this. Let me sit down.
Yeah.
Please tell me what happened.
Yeah, so someone,
Best Buy employee.
Someone else had bought the machine online. And had it shipped to the other to another store
do you
to
think,
pick up there.
Do you think maybe that was you?
That was you.
That maybe you
had your
Amazon
own
purchase.
Machine and went to go pick it up at the store, and they were like, oh no, some person named Joe already ordered it.
So they had it, they just shipped it to a different Best Buy rather than to me?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe, I guess.
And then Amazon was going to stick their slap their sticker on it, and there you
maybe.
Go.
Maybe. So they say, okay, so the other one is it, but that one's been canceled. So that order got canceled. So you can go there and pick it up if you want to.
It was
so
you.
I buy it at the location I was at and go pick it up. I get home with it, set it up along with my brand new gaming monitors. I got a pair of beautiful new Acer gaming monitors. I love them. They're great.
Did you get did you get curved monitors?
I did not. I didn't think curved monitors would look good when you put them two
side
by side.
We do this for a living, but we ain't making that kind of money.
That's true.
Actually, the curved monitors
are actually not horribly expensive.
The new one that I bought,
they're not that bad.
Not anymore.
It's a curved
horrible.
One, and it has two flat ones on either side of it. It still looks fine.
Yeah, cool. So I get it all set up. Doesn't boot.
What?
Does not boot up.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Okay, does it power?
It powers on. It gets to BIOS. It does not boot into Windows.
It doesn't post.
It will post. It just doesn't boot up Windows.
Okay.
It'll like crash trying to access hard drive. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm pissed.
Your solid state get jumbled around?
So that might... It's a solid state hard drive.
Hang on.
And got...
How pissed are you at this point?
I'm livid. I'm like...
Like, are you shaking and getting the...
It's not even like the shaking. It's the slam hands on desk and just go face down, motionless and silent for a few minutes. Like, Sarah's worried. Like, she's like, honey, are you in there? All right, well, I'm going to go see my mom for a bit. Anyway, it's that kind of thing.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, wait a minute. It was a solid state hard drive. Maybe it just got jumbled during shipping and, you know, they're finicky. I grab my laptop, I grab a solid a hard drive external, make a boot disk out of it, throw it in there. It gets to, I blank the hard drive, start installing, it gets to 2% and crashes again.
How much money have you spent on this? At this point, monitors
thousands of dollars.
and you're having to make boot disks.
Yeah. So it gets to 2%, crashes again.
How are you putting up with that? I don't think I would have unscrewed any of the plugs or anything. Nope. I literally would have ripped the sucker out of the wall and it would have taken everything in me to not throw it at the guy who sold it at me.
Who sold it at you?
He sold it at him.
That's exactly. Listen.
Quiet. At that.
At that point,
we just need money.
So I can't go any further for that moment. I'm like, you know, hey, we're going to see a movie. We go see Battle Angel Alita because I need to be away from this computer for a little bit.
Alita Battle Angel.
You know what, Robbie? Go away. How about that?
I work here.
Unfortunate. Haven't you aged out of this demographic yet? All right.
Oh,
so
God.
We get back from the movie, and I think, all right, well, you know what? My external is a solid-state drive. Maybe it's just screwed up in copying. I redo that process, download Windows 10 again onto it, and it works.
Wow.
And it finally works, and I spend the next 14 hours installing games on that mofo.
Including... Origins.
I did install Origin and Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3.
In before next week on the weekly update when he tells us how his computer no longer works.
Yep.
See, and that's where I would be at that
point. He's got a $3,000 Nosomi machine now.
I mean, honest to God, at that point, I would be like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, I woke up yesterday morning, and it was probably like, I went out into the kitchen, I made breakfast, I don't typically eat breakfast, I sat on the couch and watched a little bit of NALCS.
You were so mad you ate breakfast?
No, I was so afraid I ate breakfast, because I didn't want to go in and try and boot up the computer, I was afraid it wouldn't boot.
Wow.
Oh my God, Joe.
Breakfast instead.
Yeah, by the way, Mom, if you're listening, that's what it takes to get me to eat breakfast.
Wow. Well, enjoy the panic attacks every time you have to power that thing on.
I would say you have no idea, but you absolutely do.
Have every idea. Yeah. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How was your weekend? Can you beat that story? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagrams. Dude, we should do a segment one day of terrible computer builds, because I'm sure that we all have stories. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, today Esquire unveiled their list of top 10 video games of all time. We're going to break it down and give our thoughts ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Visit our website at CheckpointXP.com for our variety of Checkpoint podcasts. We've got the Checkpoint Podcast as well as Checkpoint XP Daily, a growing list of game-specific shows like our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, as well as our brand-new show for Fallout 76, Checkpoint 76. Subscribe and download at our website, CheckpointXP.com. This week, Esquire unveiled a list of what they believe to be the top 10 video games of all time.
Oh, no.
Their criteria was good taste, how influential the game was, and what it meant for its time. So, Joe, let's take a look at what Esquire thinks is the top 10 games of
all
time.
Please don't let this be awful.
Hold on, hold on. I need to say just really quick, the fact that they actually have criteria has given me infinitely more confidence in this list than anything else.
Better than just a ranker list.
Yeah, I will give you that. Now, I just want to remind everyone that the Esquire TV network is what supplanted the G4 network.
Yeah.
Oh.
So maybe there's a holdover on that staff that knows something.
Yeah, all right. How about number 10? Super Mario Kart.
Okay.
Well, all right, I'm not mad. It's interesting to go with kart and not 64.
Yeah.
Well, what was their reasoning?
Yeah, that's the thing. They talked about what that... This was one that... What it meant for its time, right?
Okay.
Everyone played Super Mario Kart.
Now, mm-hmm. I would argue...
I will give you that, because, I mean, I know that you guys aren't necessarily browsing singles profiles like I am, but that's one that I see all the time is, I'll beat you in Mario Kart, and the only thing I can... The only thing that I can think of is Lady No, You're Not.
I mean... My only complaint with that is I think Mario Kart 64 was a better game, but
I agree. I agree.
I understand from an influential point why Super Mario Kart.
I think it should just be Mario Kart in quotation.
Number 9, Overwatch.
Okay. I'm surprised to see Overwatch get anywhere near
this
list.
This is high placement.
This early on.
Early on. But when you look at the money, okay, and what it's trying to do for its esports apparatus.
Coca-Cola,
baby.
Nerf.
Yep. Legos.
That's the brand. That's awfully hard to argue with.
In the words of Deezus and Merrill, the brand is strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number 8, Kingdom Hearts 2.
Two? Hard pass.
Specifically two.
I would have tried to argue for you if you'd have said the first one.
I don't believe in magic.
No way, man.
No way. I'm not going to defend it. Sorry. No. Number 7, World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Yes.
This could have almost any spot on this list, and I would find a way to argue for it.
Yeah.
Period.
Even if it took number 1, I could justify
easily.
It.
Easily.
Yeah. World of Warcraft scans.
Number 6, Pokemon Red and Blue.
Yep. Yes!
Yep.
Again.
Yep.
Yes.
Almost
yes.
anywhere yep. on this list.
Yes,
I
a thousand
could make
times.
An argument
this
for
This is a good list so far.
Listen,
I'm surprised.
Minus Kingdom Hearts 2.
I'm surprised.
Minus Kingdom Hearts.
There is a criminal lack of RPG on this list. But
so far,
outside
but
of that,
RPG also I think is a taste thing.
I think you're right. I mean, RPG is not going to be everyone's flavor of video game.
That's fair.
Not everyone wants to sit down and play the War and Peace equivalent of video games.
That's
right.
Fair.
Like, I understand that. But I'm hoping to see some more RPG placement on this list. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently going through the Esquire list of top 10 video games of all time based on some interesting criteria. The fact that they had criteria is, I think, even
that's
more
nice.
Interesting. But all right, where are we?
We're going into the top 5 now. This is one that I disagreed with until I thought about it for a moment.
Oh.
Number 5, Wii Sports.
Makes perfect sense.
Everyone played this game.
Perfect sense.
Everyone enjoyed playing this game, and people who weren't gamers and people who are gamers played this game
together. I still remember my grandma's reasoning for going and buying a Wii was to get Wii Sports so that my grandpa could get more exercise.
There were senior communities, and I remember this vividly, but there were senior communities that had Wii bowling leagues.
Not to mention it was free.
And it was.
It came with the Wii.
Yeah. I wanted to poo-poo it.
First Battle Royale. It was free.
I wanted to try to find a way to poo-poo it, but I can't.
Yeah.
I agree with for all the reasons that you guys just laid out. Yeah, this definitely deserves to be on this list.
Number 4, Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Yes.
Norris finally gets a list that gives him one of his fighting games.
Only the most influential fighting game ever to be made. Period.
I'm saying MK3 Ultimate was better.
Listen, I've been watching the ConTV channel, the Twitch channel recently, and I forgot that this was a thing. They played the Street Fighter 2 anime.
That was brilliant.
Like,
I forgot about that.
I hadn't seen it in forever, and it made me think of you.
Brilliant.
Number 3, Tetris.
Yep.
It is yep. one of the most profitable yep. games of all time.
You can't deny it.
And Tetris 99 taking everyone by storm.
Tetris 99 is amazing,
you
as it turns out.
You can't deny
Nate,
it.
Nate, you know our producer, Christine, actually got her first Battle Royale win on Tetris 99.
She did.
You're so everybody has a Battle Royale.
That's not a Battle Royale game.
You're still chasing
that elusive
win.
It's against 90 people. Yep. It's free. It has all the criteria of a Battle Royale.
Except you're not shooting anyone.
Well, you're shooting them with your Tetris
blocks. You're shooting
blocks.
Them with Tetris blocks.
That's the most difficult mechanic of the...
The whole point is that everybody here has a Battle Royale win except for you.
I have terrible aim, Norris. What do you want me to do? And I'm
Play
all,
Tetris
I mean,
99.
I
don't
even
have to
watch
aim.
The puzzle games.
Yeah.
He is.
Number two, Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Now,
okay,
they say that choosing between Super Mario World 3 and Super Mario World and Super Mario Brothers 3 was a very difficult call, but they went with Super Mario World. I actually agree. I think Mario World was a better game.
Yeah.
I honestly, yes. I have way more affinity, if for nothing else than just the soundtrack of Super Mario World is so much better than 3. I mean, really, like, it was one of those games where you did notice the jump in hardware from NES to SNES. And through very simple ways of doing that. Yeah, very subtle, very simple ways.
That was just for the color palette.
Yeah, exactly. And that was some of the brilliance of that SNES era of Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do I even need to say number one?
Yeah, you do. Because there's a range of games that it could be.
Number one, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Yep. That's fair.
I mean,
that's
it's fair. A fair thing, but yeah. I mean, like, that's what everyone's number one is.
But it's a great game.
But it's because it's undeniably.
It is undeniable.
The pinnacle of, like, video gaming.
And it's unindictable. Like, it's hard to find anyone who will say a crossword about Ocarina of Time. For good reason, it really is a true masterpiece.
Here's what Esquire had to say about it. Ocarina of Time was, for many, the turning point in video games. It marked that pivotal moment when the medium cemented itself as a formidable place for artistic expression.
Yep.
Undeniably the first truly remarkable 3D experience in gaming, Ocarina of Time has inspired countless titles with its moody tone, nostalgic storyline, and incredible soundtrack.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you say it like that, I guess. I liked Majora's Mask more. I'm sorry.
Majora's Mask, would that have existed without Ocarina?
Well, no it couldn't have.
Literally, it can't.
It's the same engine.
It used, a lot of the same assets.
There you go, then.
Fair enough.
That's why
I'll give you that.
But you're also a video game hipster for liking Majora's Mask more than Ocarina of Time.
Give him the bits!
I can rock with this list.
All right, and Jeremy in our chat room over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp can also rock with this list. Well, listen, we want to hear from you like we just heard from Jeremy. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.